pray that you'll turn to Matthew 5. Now, I was thinking about some scenes in the Bible we really need to take note of. And one thing, the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, the reason we should really take note of that is because that was Jesus' message. And I'm not going to go through, it would take too much time to go through every one, but the Lord has given me a real inspiration about peacemakers. So you pray for me on Matthew 5. I will say it, let's read up just a little bit about that. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he goes on to say, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's the message I have this morning, is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I was thinking, I don't think that in my life that I've ever met a real saint that didn't want to have peace. I think that's something that, there's a song that says, the only real peace that I have found, dear Lord, is in you. And you know, when we have peace in our soul, we want peace with others. And, you know, so much of our life is dealing with God. We heard about God. We can't do anything without God. He is the Almighty God. He is the only true God. And we live and breathe at His command. But then, you know, the second commandment is so we are to love others as ourselves. And we are to love one another. And we have to deal in life in relationships. A lot of our life is dealing with relationships. And so the Lord wants us to be a peacemaker. Do you know how to be a peacemaker? Maybe the Lord will help us to learn. I was thinking about, I might not go to all those scriptures, but I'll quote them for you. Genesis 13, 5 through 12, Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot, the herdsmen, began to have strife and they began to have problems because it was just too small for their area. They begin to have problems and arguments. And Abraham said, let there be no strife between us. And he said, Lot, you choose what land you want and you can have it and I'll take what's left. He had such a sweet spirit, didn't he? But Lot cast his land, he cast his towards Sodom. It was the wrong choice, but it looked good. But you know, Abraham said, let there be no strife between us. You go ahead and you go first. You know, that's the spirit of Jesus. There's times that things come up in our life and relationships. And may the Lord help us to know how to have the spirit of Christ and how to just prefer one another and just, it's okay. You know, you choose whatever you want. I'll take what's left over. I think about in a home many times, you know, a man can do that too, but lots of times a mother, you know, if she has a pie or something and she sees that all the children and her husband, they have their portion and maybe there's not much left or maybe someone wants a second piece. And I have seen sometimes mothers just, you go ahead and take it. I don't need any. I really didn't want any pie anyway. And they would rather have that child have the second piece. This is what I'm saying. The spirit of Christ, being a peacemaker, being loving and kind and generous. And this is all about Jesus. It's all about having that kind of spirit. And, you know, I was thinking about life. You know, in my life, I've enjoyed the life I've had so far. And I'm enjoying my life right now so much. And, you know, it just seems like, this is one thing I have realized in life, that the more we have peace and harmony and no problems in our life, the more we enjoy our life. But the enemy comes in for strife and division or plant thoughts in your mind or try to cause discord or put some kind of thought in your mind. You know, and the Lord wants to help you to overcome those things. And, you know, many people have got overcome and got discouraged because they didn't keep this peace flowing. They begin to think thoughts that were wrong about someone, or and it began to grow and grow until it came more important to them about that person and the way they were treated than it was Jesus' salvation. And see, we should not let anyone take our salvation from us. No matter how we're treated, we should love and forgive. And so, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Every one of us has had problems, I know. If you're human, you've had problems. Every one of us have had something come up that we had to deal with, and maybe we didn't want to deal with it, but we had to do it. But you know, the Lord is able to help us to have peace and do it in a sweet way and loving way, and the Lord can help us. So I want to turn, also read the 16th verse of that same chapter. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, sometimes our life speaks louder than what we say. You know, we can say, you know, we're this and we're that. But if we show love, if we take time to be kind, and, you know, a lot of this works and starts in our homes. And, you know, lots of times we talk about our husband and wives, but it also is the way we treat our children. And it's also the way we treat extended family. And it's also how we treat the family of God. And so there's so much in it that we need the Lord's help. But it said, let your light so shine. The young people sang a song about light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Your good works is your life. Is how you treat others, how you love Jesus, how you're serving Him with all your heart. You know, that flows out into your whole life. And many times you do things that you're not even aware of because you have the Spirit of Christ and you're just doing it because of all this love going out of your heart. And you just do it automatically. And you really don't think about that you're doing good works. But your good works is your whole life. How you love the Lord, how you serve Him with all your heart, how you want to be all what God wants you to be, how you want the church to go forward, how you want purity and holiness and godliness in others' lives, how you want to promote. You know, I wouldn't want to think that I caused anybody a tear of heartache. I wouldn't want to think that I treated them so cold or treated them wrong, where they had to go home and cry to the Lord. You know, that's a dangerous place, because if we offend one of God's little ones, it says it's better that a millstone was hung about our neck and we cast into the depth of the sea. Now, I know that's a strong scripture, but it's there. It's there for us to realize how much His little ones mean to Him. I remember a story about Brother Warner. He said, this preacher, he was a younger minister, and he said, Brother Warner said, I'm so tired. He had been traveling and preaching the gospel. I'm so tired. Would you go ahead and preach the service? Take care of the service. And he said, oh, Brother Warner, I couldn't get up and minister with you there. You're Brother Warner. And he said, you know what? He said, God bless you, brother. He said, I'm just one of God's little ones. You know, there's just no big eyes and holy ears. We're all God's little ones. We just have callings. We're servants. You know, it says whoever is going to be great among you, let him be servant of all. You know, to be servant and we have a greater responsibility on our callings and a greater accountability to God. And that brings a real seriousness about the offices. But may God help us to let our light shine. Are you letting your light shine at home? Are you letting your light, you know? I'll soon be married 48 years to my husband, and I dearly love him. And you know, there's times, I remember even when we first got married, it's been all along that way, but if any kind of disagreement came up, I never did like it. I never could feel happy. I didn't feel happy washing dishes. I didn't feel happy about cooking. Nothing was happy anymore. I wasn't very good about doing anything until that got solved. And I remember lots of times I would just maybe take his hand and just say, you know what, Jerry, I love you. And I wouldn't maybe say a whole lot more. But that just broke that ice and he's, I love you too. So let's just start all over. You know, the Lord wants peace in our homes and harmony. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Have you ever thought about, young people, ever think about when you're out on a picnic and you're sitting by the stream of water or whatever and the water's flowing and it's so, you know, they tell people in the world, if you want to really relax, you know, think about these things. You go into a dentist's office, what do they have out there? They don't put you in front of big skyscrapers and the pictures of city and all this. They got the window open there and they got the grass and the flowers and the trees and that's what you're looking at. And they want to calm you down. They want you to be relaxed. They want you to have peace because they're getting ready to do something to you that's not pleasant. So trying to get your mind focused on having peace. But you know, we can have that in our life. We don't have to think about what the devil puts in our mind, wrong thoughts about somebody or evil thoughts. We can plead the blood of Jesus and say, you know what? There's something good about that person. I'm going to find something good about that person. Maybe that personality of theirs, maybe it's kind of different than mine and kind of, you know, just a little bit different than mine. But you know, I can look and I can find something good about them and I'm going to praise God that they're saved. Yes, I'm going to praise the Lord that the Lord saved them. They don't have to be just like me for me to love them. And you don't have to be like me and I don't have to be like you for us to love each other. We're brethren. We're brethren. We love one another. I think about that song that says the bond of perfectness. How sweet the bond of perfectness. The blessed bond of perfectness. The wondrous love of Jesus. How sweet this bond of perfectness that unites us in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? How sweet it is to have unity. There's something about the oil that flows. You know, the oil that flows when the ministers come and pray for someone, the unity that flows among us and the agreement with Jesus Christ causes the Lord to come down and divinely heal somebody. You see how important it is for us to be peacemakers, how important it is to have peace among ourselves. And you know, sometimes you have, you know, that little game, sometimes the young people have played it or I've seen them do this telephone line. And someone starts with a story and it goes down and down and it's just maybe a simple sentence. And by the time the one gets down here at the end of the line, they stand up and it was totally different. How did you think I said that? Because it went from one to another. That's what gossip is like. It just kind of starts out and maybe some of it could even be a little true. But it gets changed and it gets changed and it gets changed and it gets changed. And by the time it gets down here, this person is totally not even true. You know, the Lord said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on joy. You know what? As you get older, you realize, you know, your time is running out. Maybe you're not going to have much time left. And you think, you know what? I'm spending my life in joy. I'm spending my life in happiness. Every day I'm going to praise the Lord. Every day I'm going to get something wonderful out of this day. You know, every day that I have been here, I have enjoyed it. I have been happy. I have had any problems here. Well, you're around with a lot of saints. You shouldn't have any problems. But you know what? It's been wonderful, hasn't it? Been glorious. But like I said, we can't stay here. We got to go out. We got to meet the world. We got to meet different things can come up. But you know, the Lord can help us to be a peacemaker. The Lord, you know, I was thinking about, have you ever been in a drive-through at a McDonald's or something? Or maybe going through a toll road? And you get up there to pay, and they say, you don't have to pay, that person in front of you paid. Now, have that happened to you? And it's the world, they do this, pass it on. Pass on the blessing. Lots of times you go ahead and you pay for the one behind you, so you don't really get that blessing that day because you already gave it to the other. But you still get a blessing. I don't mean that, but what I mean, you know, you give it away. But that's okay, because you want to just give it away and pass it on. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do, is pass on peace. There's a way to be a peacemaker. There is a way to do it. I admire different ones in my family. Have you ever heard someone, you know, you start a subject. Maybe you start talking about something, And you find out right away, this conversation is going wrong because I mentioned somebody or I mentioned and something good maybe about that person, but maybe they took it up and went, it's going all directions. Think, why did I say that? Have you ever had that happen to you? Why did I get on that subject? We want to bring it back. There's a way to bring it back. That's being a peacemaker. There is wisdom in that. Instead of carrying on that conversation, you say, guess what happened to me last week? I got to go see this wonderful sight. And you say, and they kind of forget what they're saying. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it so much. And it just brings peace back in the conversation. We got to learn how to do that. We got to learn how to be a peacemaker. And bring it out of that stuff, out of that strife, out of that bad talk. Get it back on track. Get it back where Jesus wants. So are you going to be a peacemaker? Am I going to be a peacemaker? Lord, you said we are blessed. Another thought came to me. He said, blessed, 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 blessed. These people are going to be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. If you will take that one verse and be that and apply that in your life, you are going to have so much happiness and more joy, and you're going to enjoy the life God gave you. And God gave you a life to enjoy on this earth before you go to heaven, and you can take fruit from that. You reap what you sow. If you sow strife and you sow disharmony and all this, wherever it is, you will reap that. But if you sow love and peace and, I'm not going to say what kind of gift it is, but I got a little saying with my children. I say, that person, sometimes persons just touch me, touch me really good. I don't know how to explain it, but I think like they do something special for me or they show me some special love, and I've got some little gifts at home. I'm going to say, what it is, because you might chuckle, so I'm going to say what it is. But, you can ask me later, but the Lord says, I say, okay, they earned that. They earned some of my gift. And I go get it, and I give it to them. And I say, now you get this gift because you were so special to me. And you showed me love, you were so sweet to me, and so you earned this gift. And then later, this person will come back and say, you know what? I feel so special because you gave me that. And it didn't cost much money. It wasn't that. But it was the love. Dear ones, I'm just being an example. Not that I'm just so special. But I'm trying to say, we need to learn how to get love over to people. We learn, there's something about, have you ever heard the story about apples on the side of the road? There was a lady that she had like a farm. I might not get it exactly right if you know the story, but I remember reading it. She had a farm and she had some beautiful trees. And, women are a lot like this anyway. They like to decorate and they like to do things. They like to cook. They like to have little special things. And she thought, there might be a passerby coming by my land. And I'm going to put a little bench out there, and I'm going to hang some apples in the tree. And I'm going to make sure every day that I put apples in that tree. And when that passerby comes by, they're going to see those apples, and they're going to sit down. They're going to have an apple, and I'm going to bless that person because I put apples in that tree. Apples on the side of the road. Do you know that we can give apples? I remember when I was a little girl, I was in grade school, and there was this little boy, and I kind of thought he was kind of cute. Nothing ever came of it. Nothing came of it. But you know what? I thought, how can I get this little boy to know that I like him? And I found an apple at home, and I washed it real good, made it real pretty, and I put it in his desk. I don't know if he ever knew it was me, but he'd say, who gave me this apple? Who did this? Who did this? And it just brought me kind of a joy, because I thought it was me that did that. But we can do that to one another. We can do things, and sometimes we don't always have to let people know that we're the one that did it. Now, one time in Michigan, we were praying. We didn't have the money to come to Guthrie, and I just told my husband, I said, we really need to go to Guthrie, honey. We need to go to the meeting. The girls were little, and we just needed the encouragement. We're basically kind of isolated. It was back in the early 70s, middle 70s, somewhere in there. Before we moved to Oklahoma City in 1979, it was sometime in the 70s. But to make the story short, We were just praying, and my husband says, honey, we don't have the money for one thing, and I can't get off work. But his boss let him off work, and I said, so I started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, we need to go to the camp meeting. We need money. We need to Jerry get off work. Because he had a boss that just really would not want to get him off, let him have off work, you know, unless God worked with him. So anyway, back then we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't reach him, but a letter came in the mail. It was stuffed with money. And it was cash. It was not a check. I just marveled. I thought, how did this letter get in through the mail with full of cash like that? And so I waited, and when he got home, I was so excited, and I said, God has sent us the money to go to the camp meeting. So he went and told his boss at work. He says, my wife was praying, and she got money in the mail and cash. And he said, oh, that was probably your dad. Your dad sent you that money. He said, no. No, it was not my dad. It was, we don't know who it was, but God sent it to us. And the boss said, go ahead and go. Go to the camp meeting. Just go. But you know, the Lord heard prayer. And you know, God does special things for us like that. But you know, we want to be a peacemaker. And I want to read the scripture just a little bit so we kind of understand, because I don't want the enemy to get us under accusation that sometimes we can do all we can and that person maybe just don't, you know, I'm talking about someone that's not saved. Maybe they just, the enemy's took control of them somehow and they just don't like us and they just, you can't find peace. You know, Brother Werner, he would travel around with his group and there was people that threw rotten eggs at him and they did all kinds of things because they didn't like it because he preached against Babylon. Though he wasn't having much peace with those people, was he? But he still had a peaceable spirit. You know what I'm saying? You can still have a peaceful spirit and forgive others. We really believe. I know one time I was reading, I read in the Birth of Reformation thing, these stories, you know, and different old books I have. And like this one man, Brother Werner preached the truth, probably against Babylon pretty strong or something. I don't know exactly what he preached, but it stirred up this man. He didn't like it. And he came up as soon as he got out of the pulpit. He said, we call him Brother Werner, but he said, your message was of the devil. Wouldn't that be terrible to get out of the pulpit and someone tell you that? And Brother Werner, it said that he just looked at him and fell on his knees and started praying. And start praying for that man. And the man didn't know what to do and he just kind of threw up his hands and took off. And I think it was like the next night, it was real quickly, this man got up in the congregation. He said, I treated Brother Werner wrong and I want to ask forgiveness. But see, Brother Werner, he would have tried to fight back with that man. Don't you tell me my message of the devil. You're of the devil for saying that. You know what I mean? He could have said things, but he got down and prayed. See, he was a peacemaker in that situation. So when things arise in our life, may the Lord help us to know how to be a peacemaker. Jesus said in the 34th verse of the 10th chapter, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So I just wanted to put that in a little bit. For you not to be under accusation if you're doing all you can to bring peace and someone doesn't have peace with you. Because, you know, when we stand for the truth and in a righteous, godly way, it still brings those that are not going that way, you know, it can bring a problem. But the Lord can still have us have a spirit of love and harmony and forgiveness to those. And I want to read that scripture over here in Mark 11. May the Lord help us today. Let's choose peace. Let's choose getting along and loving. And Mark 11 and 25, it says here, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. What did Jesus do on the cross? He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And what was the one on the by him, railed on him, but the other one said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And you know, the Lord, he had the spirit of forgiveness, didn't he? And he said, but if you, this scripture really, really, really stands out to me. If anyone crosses me, I pray for them and I pray for myself. I do not really want to get in any situations with people, even though you try your best. Sometimes it happens because we're human and humans make errors and human makes mistakes. We're mortals, but try to stay out of it. People try to run from problems, try to run from troubles. I believe I'm preaching the right thing. If you think, I mean, try to stay out of it. Try to be a peacemaker. Try to keep harmony in your home. Try to keep harmony with your children, your adult children too. There may be times you might have to apologize to them and humble yourself, but keep the love flowing with those children and grandchildren. You know, keep it all flowing all the time. If you say something, just apologize and get it. You know, we're human beings. We make mistakes, but dear, the Lord can help us to have a spirit of peacemakers. It said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We must forgive. It's our lifeline to heaven. We must forgive. But let's just try to get out, keep out of those places so we don't have to forgive. You know, try to walk carefully. Try to walk circumspectly with our brothers and sisters. So we don't harm anybody, so we don't hurt anybody, so we don't have to get into kind of a situation. Don't listen to the enemy. Keep peace flowing. Remember that river. Remember the apples on the side of the road. Remember those things that can help us. Lord, I want to relax. I want to see the beauty of your creation. I don't want strife in my life. I don't want problems in my life. I want to see the beauty. My mother, when I was growing up, she taught me different things. And one thing she'd say, Marcia, think twice before you say anything. Sometimes I have, sometimes I haven't. Because Marcia was a little girl, probably that could talk. I don't know why she told me that. It must have been something about me that I could talk. But you know what? She said, think twice before you say something. Have you ever just thought something in your mind? Maybe it's your husband and wife. And you think, you know, after you've been married so long, you know where it's going to go. You know exactly where it's going to go. And I said, I've been there. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. Because I know where that's going to go. You know, in the world they say something about choose your battles. You know what? I really don't choose. I don't really want to choose any. I don't even want to choose one. Sometimes I get in them, I don't even want them. But they say choose your battles with your wife or husband. I don't want to choose any. Do you want to choose a battle? But that's the saying they say. In other words, what they're just saying is that let some things go. Is it really important if your toast burns? I mean, why argue about that? That is so ridiculous. Just put in some fresh toast. Throw it away. You don't like to throw it away. You don't want to put it down the garbage disposal. I don't either. But I tell you what, I burnt toast. I burnt toast. I get rid of it. I make some fresh toast. But, you know, there's just little things that come up in our life that it's just be a peacemaker. It doesn't matter if your wife burns her toast. Go in there and help the poor lady. Maybe she's trying to fry eggs and fry bacon or whatever. Maybe she's getting the orange juice and doing all these things and she put the toast too high and it burned. Instead of complaining and causing trouble in the home, go in there and make a little toast for her. It's okay. You can do something. It's okay. Is that right? It's not going to hurt us to do a little bit. The women usually help you. They wash your clothes. They iron your clothes. They help you, assist you. So you can assist them a little bit. Get in there. Let's be a peacemaker. Lord, help us be a peacemaker. Romans 12 and 17, it says, overcome. 12 and 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, people want to get people back. You did me wrong. I'm waiting my day. You've heard people say, I'm waiting my day, I'm going to get that person back. That's not the spirit of Christ. Let it go. Just let it go. Just ask Jesus to help you. Pray it. Ask God that you can overcome evil with good. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. Like I said, there's sometimes it's not possible. But if it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The scripture says, as much as neither, beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So if someone hurts you real bad or something, pray to the Lord, ask the Lord to help you to forgive, and leave it in the Lord's hands. Can you just commit it to the Lord? I know one saint that would tell me this, they're gone now, but they would tell me many times, commit things to the Lord. If you can't figure it out, you don't know how to work it out, commit it to the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You can overcome evil in your life. When I'm saying about evil, not evil sin in your life, but evil that comes from people. People that I'm not just talking among us. I'm talking about people that are not even saved. People, maybe strangers, that cut you off. Maybe you're driving, they cut you off. You've had things like that happen to you. Like, they're not pleasant, or they don't let you in or something. And instead of getting, you don't overcome. You don't be mean back and honk your horn and, you should have did that to me. You should have did that to me. That's not acting like a saint. In fact, you might do that, and it might be one of the saints when it's embarrassing. So you got to be careful how you act. You got to be careful how you drive. You got to be courteous. So it says here, overcome evil with good. Be a peacemaker. The Lord gave me this one scripture this morning. I thought it was really good. It's in Zechariah, just before Matthew here a little bit. Zechariah 8. You know what is in the walls of Jerusalem? Walk about Zion. You know what's in the walls of Jerusalem? There's real peace and love. It's not in the world. The wicked has no peace. They have no real peace. Like the song we sang, maybe someone can sing that. The only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. That's where the peace is. And Zechariah 8, and it says here in 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Speak the truth. Don't carry things that you don't know for sure, because you might not be speaking the truth. You know, you heard it through the grapevine, so to speak. You heard it through something. Don't speak that, because it might not be the truth. Execute judgment of truth and peace in your gates. By God's grace, I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to have truth in my gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. I'm not going to turn to this. I don't even think I wrote it. I wrote it down earlier, and I didn't know if I'd say it, but I think the Lord wants me to say it. If you remember David, and I believe his wife was named Michelle, but David was praising the Lord, and she was looking through the window, and he was out there. You know, back then they did things a little different. He was dancing and praising the Lord. But he was worshiping the Lord. He was praising the Lord. And she made fun of him. And he came in and she says, oh, David, you just prickly. I'm not putting my own words. You know, she was mocking him, making fun of her husband. Do you know that God cursed that woman and she never had a child till she died? That put some fear on me. I thought, oh, you know, women, we should not mock our husbands. We should not, and same with the men, they should not mock their wives or make fun of their wives. You know, we need to respect one another. There are things in a marriage that are very secret. Very secret. You know things about your husband, or he knows things about you that no one else knows. Secret things. It could even have been before you even got saved. I'm trying to say that is a marriage. Marriage is so sacred and so close. It is one of the closest relationships that we'll ever be in this world. And we are to respect one another and not hurt one another and not mock. And because that woman mocked her husband, she was cursed by God. May the Lord help us to see how important it is to be a peacemaker. To honor and respect our husbands and honor our wives and respect them. And, you know, may the Lord help us today. A peaceable disposition. Be a strong and hearty person and have great affection for peace. Do you have a strong affection for peace? Do you have a strong love for peace? Do you have a hearty love for peace? Do you desire and delight in peace? You know, when the angels came to announce Jesus' birth, they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And that was in St. Luke 10 through 15. Peace on earth. Jesus came to bring the right kind of peace. Like I said, it was going to cause division between those that don't want God. But those of us that have the peace of God in our heart, there is no peace like it. It's so wonderful. It's wonderful to lay your head down at night and be able to go to sleep and say, "Oh, praise God, I am saved. If I don't wake up until morning, if I go and die, I'm going into heaven with the Lord. I have no fear. I have great peace in my heart. I can sleep good. I can sleep really good." So that's the way it is. When you have real peace in your heart, that's the way it is. And James 3, we want to read the scripture. Easily to be entreated. You know, saints ought to be the easiest people to be able to talk to. You know, you don't have to be afraid of them. Okay? We don't need to. Should not be afraid of them. If we go in the Spirit of Christ and we need to talk to somebody, we ought to be able to do it. James 3 and 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And I'm not going to turn to this, but 1 Timothy 2 and 1 through 3, it says, to live a quiet and peaceable life. And I have one more story I'd like to share with you. And there's a little song, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll just say some of the words. "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, a peace that was meant to be. As God is our Father, brothers are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony." There's a story I was going to tell you about before I close here. In World War I, you know, one thing I have realized since I got older, how sad it is that a lot of our young men have died in these wars. It just made me appreciate more the sacrifice that they have gave. And this battle of war became peace one night. In World War I, as these soldiers laid in their trenches, one, the snow was falling softly, it said, and one young man, probably it was Christmas Eve, began to think of home and the songs that they sang at home, and he began to hum "Silent Night." The other soldiers heard it, and they all began to sing "Silent Night." It was beautiful. And when they ended the song, over in the enemy camp, in a different language, those soldiers sang "Silent Night." So for just a few, they were an enemy. They were in a battle. But for a little while that night, God brought peace. May God help us to see in our lives, if this could help anybody in here, how important it is to promote peace. And God will bless you. Pray for me.